Guilty is not determined by how well the problem is explained. A lot of us know what the problems mm-hmm. are. Neglect. Over 50 years of neglect. And this is not a PLP problem or an F&M problem. It's all of their problems. Because I look at it, and over the past 50 years, and I only looked at this number because the report said that some of the equipment has not been changed or upgraded in 50 years. And 34 of those years, since independence, the Progressive Liberal Party has been in power. And 19 of those years, the Free National Movement has been in power. So they are all accountable. They all should be held accountable, and they are all responsible for what we find ourselves in. So the government just needs to come clean with what's going on, and the opposition needs to move away from just complaining and whining and present solutions to what's going on. So we all have to work together to get this grid system working. Our conversation with BGC helped us to better understand the problem. And now I think the real test for us is whether the understanding translates into a more reliable and affordable energy system for Indians. Thank you, and until next time.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good evening. Welcome. This is John Pinder. I'm your host for this new show beginning right now on Guardian Radio 96.9. The name of this show is Total Package. That's right, Total Package. So there are many, many packages out there. And as we get into this show and go through the show, throughout the period of time, we want to be able to discuss packages. But the show will focus mostly on employee packages, employer packages, government packages, relationship packages, and any other package that you think is important for us to discuss. I have some other ideas in mind, but we'll take it one step at a time. And so I just want to welcome all of you here. Under the sound of my voice, hey, this is going to be called your evening jam session, you know. Some of you may be planning on going out to exercise at this time. I want you to take your headphones and your cell phone with you and make sure you tune in to Guardian Radio 96.9. And at this hour of the evening, If you're having your dinner, make sure you get the radio on. Turn up loud. Let the kids and everybody hear what's happening on Guardian Radio this hour. And, you know, there's some news that normally come on this kind of time. Don't worry about them news. You can catch them up later. You want to be a part of this live show. You don't want to miss nothing. And so this evening, I want to, first of all, thank my sponsors. I have quite a number of trade unions that are interested, but have not paid yet. And so I will not announce their names as yet. A number of them said they have to meet with their boards, and so the boards could give approval for them to be a part of this show. But I hope they will see the importance of being a part of this show. I also reached out to some employers because I want this to be a total package. That's why I used that song for introduction. That song speaks to the worker, saying that, you know, he work hard and he have to continuously take his money, say, but he get paid. Before he see the money, they take it. They take it on taxes. The government does what they want to do with your salary in terms of taxes. And the employer does their part in paying you. Oftentimes, you may be complaining not getting paid sufficient for the time you have to work. And, you know, there are lots of concerns in the workplace. You know, we have challenges, but even the most challenging thing we are facing right now is the BBL packages that you have. Yeah, that's a package you get, you know. When you go and apply for electricity, you would have asked, BBL will tell you, okay, you pay me this and I'll provide you with that. And so, you know, we have some issues going on there. I live in the East, and I've been out of power for 12 hours yesterday. I live in the Minton area, you know. But, hey, they say progress, and they're going to do what they can do to better the electricity supply. We wait, we will see. Okay? And so, the union so far that has showed some financial support to this show would be the union that is known as the BSAHUP. That's those acronyms. That's Bahamas Public Service Authority and Authority Public Unions, yeah. And so I want to thank the president and her executives for their sponsorship. Then my good friend, the Diamond Launch, the operator of Diamond Launch, my good friend, one Hubert Smith, he has came up with his donation, his financial support through this show. I want to thank you, Hubert. I want to say, persons, you're traveling down Prince Charles and just opposite Ashley Furniture there. Hubert has this nice restaurant there. They have special days. They got some good taco there, boy, and some good crack on in the area. So if you're in the area and you're passing by, please stop by and patronize Diamond Launch. And then there's a union group from the BPSU, known as the United Team, and they're being represented by on the ballots for the upcoming election. They're the Eagle Team, and they have gave some financial support to this show, so I want to thank them. They're not the full executives of the BBSU as yet, but they intend to become that. They're running for, their slate is running to take over the union, headed by the now executive vice president, Craig Behel, who was a colleague of mine for many years. As a matter of fact, Craig supervised me. He was my supervisor on many of the trips we went out on, even though I'm older than he is. But he came into the audit department real qualified young man. And I have all confidence that put the union in his hand is going to go places. He's a very honest fellow, Christian fellow, qualified. Like I say, he's presently an assistant auditor general, so he knows about auditing millions and billions of dollars from the government. And so I think the union will be in good hands with him and his team. And certainly our non-region vice president right now, LaToya Cartwright, is a part of that team. And so they're looking pretty good. I just hope that they can take the union to higher heights and the membership will be quite satisfied with their performance. And there's this young lady by the name of let me make sure I get her name. Hold on, let me find her name. Takia Reming. Man, listen, she's known as the BBW lady. You know who that is? She is the big, beautiful woman lady's friend. And she sells pantyhose and stockings of all sorts and all sizes, from 1X, I think, to 7X, she says. And she have all the colors, man. Any color you want, she can find. And so let me just look at some of these colors she sent me to let you know that, She's sponsoring the show, so I expect you to patronize her, please, if you can. Patronize her. Let me just tell you some of these colors that Miss Reming has for sale. She says she got jet black, she got off black, she got coffee, she got turquoise, she got navy blue, she got gray, she got beige, she got white man, she got the whole thing. And you can reach her at this phone number, 421-2991. Any color pantyhose, stockings you want, she can provide for you. Okay, so all you nice, chunky, sexy ladies, you know, you solid, chunky ladies, you know, she got your size, man. All right? So patronize her. Now, next week, you'll hear me announce a few more sponsors who have committed. But again, I'm a wait to get their financial support before I advertise them. And anybody else who wish to advertise on the show, please give me a call, 357-9150, or call Guiding Radio. Or just send your check and let them know you're sponsoring Total Package. All right? So I thought it's important for me to tell you a little about myself as we get into the show, so as you can know who I am. For those who do not know me or may not know me, like I said, I'm John Pinder. Most people call me the Union Man. I was born in Foxhill, in the Sunland Primary School, L.W. Young, Aaron Bailey. And while I touch Aaron Bailey, I'll get back to that later. That's my alma mater, and I understand they had an incident today that was not so pleasant. I do like this time, since my sincere sympathy, I think the young man was a beau, who they said was electrocuted today. Well, lightning hit him, and his body was burnt. So I believe he had some severe burns. So my sympathy goes out to them and all the teachers and his student friends at Aaron Bailey. I believe on behalf of my class of 79 and the other members of Aaron Bailey, who was Ventura Aaron Bailey. We want to send our condolences and prayers for the Almighty God to strengthen during this hour of bereavement, that family. So just to finish, tell you a little about me. I graduated from Aaron Bailey in 79, yeah. And boy, that was an awesome class we had between 77 and 79. Really produced some very good quality students from Aaron Bailey, even the class that came on 80. Some very good students. And Aaron Bailey continues to do well as it leads to producing good citizens and some real good leaders for the Bahamas. And so I commend them on that. And so I am, would have done some studies locally. Most of my studies were done locally. The institution I got most of my higher qualifications from would have been the Macquarie International College. And several of us did pretty good there. Hopefully that National College will continue to do its best for those who are went through those doors. I know we had some really, really good lectures during my time. And the most impressive, tough lecture we had was this guy called Dr. Jess. He was a judge in London, and he taught at one of the universities in London. And the same classes he gave them in law, he taught us administrative law, was taught to us locally here. And he had said all of us who were able to successfully complete his exam with 75 or better, as a matter of fact, 76, yeah, 75 or better, had an opportunity to go to the university in London, and you could finish in 18 months. I don't know who all took advantage of that, but I know I wasn't able to do so. So I also want to send a shout out to all those who went to Macquarie during the time I was there. Some was raised to some big positions, I know. Anya Simmons is one of those who, P.S. Simmons, hi, Anya. She did very well, my good friend, who helped pull me through those courses. Who else? We had, I'm trying to remember, Dr. Barr from education, and past, Dr. Black, who was past. May her soul rest in peace, and quite a number of other persons who hold some prestigious positions in the country today. So in 1999, I was elected, well, in 1981, I was hired by the Bahamas government as an auditor, and I went through the ranks from clerk, senior clerk, chief clerk, and I left there as an audit officer. Was able to travel the entire Bahamas. As an auditor in the section then called Family Island Section. So I did audits in all the Family Islands and one or two of the keys where we went to do audits. And so through the Audit General's Department, I was able to see the entire Bahamas, every island in the Bahamas I visited, in some cases twice. In those days, they had what they called the Family Island Commissioners. And so we used to go into the Family Island to audit those commissioners, and I was a part of that audit team. And boy, I can tell you some stories about that. You know, there was no cell phones around those days. You couldn't text and WhatsApp nobody in those days. But the Family Island people had their own codes. Anytime they see an order show up at the airport, they used to get on the phone and call their family members or whoever working in the commission office and tell them, plant your corn, rain coming. And that was the code to say the auditors are in town. You know, that was back in those days. And so I was able to move to those ranks. And in 1999, I ran actually 96, I ran the first time for treasurer of the BPSU, lost that election, came back and ran in 99, won that election as treasurer, served as treasurer until 2002, and then I ran for president in 2002, won that election, and I was able to hold on to that post for 15 years, from 2002 to 2017, when I decided to go back to the public service. During my time as president of the union, I was successful in getting the first industrial agreement signed between the Bahamas government and the Bahamas Public Services Union. It was signed under Perry Christie's administration sometime around just before 2000, sometime 2005, 2006, 2000, just before 2007 election in any event. And that industrial agreement is still what governs the public service today. Let me say this. When we agreed to all the terms and conditions of the first industrial agreement, the one thing we also agreed to was that the government revised the then Public Service Act and bring in a new Public Service Act to cause the industrial agreement to be in compliance with the Act. And I think that was one of the biggest challenges the union was facing, new Public Service Act. They had the Public Service Regulations then, and a new Act was supposed to come into place to replace that, because no longer were general orders supposed to be governing the public service. And today I'm still hearing people talk about general orders. Today I'm still hearing that. And that industrial agreement was way back in 2005. He signed off on that. And people are still talking about general orders, an old chaotic document that, you know, was around from 67, I think, somewhere 67, 68. Could you imagine? They're still trying to use that to govern the public service today. Some people just refuse. Especially some of those older permanent secretaries refused or wanted to take the time to actually familiarize themselves with the industrial agreement at that time. And they felt that they were taking some power from them, and it wasn't. And let me also go on record as saying, people were saying that you couldn't get fired from the public service. We put major and minor breaches in that industrial agreement that our members knew if they made any major breach, they stand very strong chance of being terminated from the public service. However, a number of heads of department or permanent secretaries, in my view, didn't wish to want to travel that route. And so thus, most of the Bahamian people are aware of the fact, or they believe that civil servants can be fired easily. But that's the process. You must have a due process in that industrial agreement. We did have the whole disciplinary procedure in which one has to follow in order for a public officer to be terminated, okay? And so there are a number of things in those industrial agreements that the government still is not living up to, okay? I still hear people talking about being sent home on administrative leave without proper interdiction. If you were not interdicted, no head of the department, let me make this point really clear, not even the prime minister has the right to send you home if you were charged before the court and not, if you didn't lose the case. If there's a charge brought before you, you're still innocent until proven guilty. And so until you have exhausted the whole process, and you were convicted, That's when the government has the right to terminate. Until such time, you're an interdiction, which means you should be receiving, pre-receiving 50% of your salary until such time as the case has been adjudicated. And I'm still hearing people saying that some heads of the department think they own the government. They send you home on administrative leave, and they don't allow you to receive half of your salary and that sort of thing. And so there are a number of cases coming up, and I am involved in one or two of them. So let me put some people on notice. And so sadly to say that one of the persons that I am going after is an attorney who had the government agency and knows better. And he fought, he faced a similar problem that he had to fought for himself. Well, he didn't have a fight. The union started to agitate on his behalf, but he went and fought him and another colleague where the department wanted to punish him by taking him off overtime. And so when these people go through these type of things at a junior level and they rise to a senior position, why is it that they think they should not ensure that the persons who are under them don't catch the hell they caught when they were at a junior level? I don't know why. But anyhow, we can see how that can turn out to be. We can deal with that matter in short order. Okay? So I was able to serve as president of the union for 15 years, and then I decided to go back to the government. And the main reason being, I thought after 15 years as president, I felt as though, you know, it was time for me to move on to something else and give somebody else an opportunity to see if they could have advanced the public service a little more than I did. And so I went back to the government, and I was also seeking to, at that time, I needed to give the government, I think it was, I must say, 9 more years to make sure I could have gotten a full pension, because when I left the government to become president in 2002, I had 21 active years in the Auditor General's Department. So I wanted 9 more years so that I could have retired and get a decent pension. And, you know, that didn't really happen. That didn't happen. But that's a story for another day. After serving as president of the union for 15 years, went back to the Auditor General's Department for a short while, an opportunity by Dr. Minister, then Prime Minister, and the Minister of Labor, Dion Folks, to serve as the Director of Labor. And that was a real challenging time, because right around the time of Dorian and the pandemic, I caught myself in that position as Director of Labor. And boy, that wasn't easy. It wasn't easy at all. I did something that I think no other director probably did, or no other head of the department has done. And one of the things I learned as a president, and I hope other presidents will learn, and even the prime minister needs to know this, it is very good to have a good relationship with the press. Okay? Now, being a trade unionist, I know the press job, news media personalities, their job is to find news. And so oftentimes something will be happening in the union, they will come to me, I'll tell them. And the same thing happened when I became director of labor. Same thing was going on. They would come to me and ask me about it. And I would always look at my job description. And whoever was director of labor has the day-to-day responsibility for the affairs of the labor department. And his job is to send reports to the permanent secretary. And that's to ensure that the permanent secretary knows what's going on. Her job is to inform the minister. So nothing happens in a government agency where there's a head of department and the minister doesn't know about it because you didn't report to the permanent secretary. And so that's the protocol involved there. So oftentimes I found myself when I was director of labor speaking to the press about unemployment and stuff like that. At one point, I got a message from sent to me saying, listen, man, you need to stare at the press. So I got a little frightened. I said, oh, gee, in trouble now. So I was apologizing and to the PM saying, listen, man, you think I talk too much in the press? And I mean, he said, listen, if I told you to talk to us in the press, I will personally call you and let you know that. So I was satisfied that what I was doing was in the best interest of the country at that time. Just I'm trying to give people some sort of comfort. Because boy, it was some rough times, you know. So I was doing that. Most heads of the department don't do that. But that was just a unique time, and I had to do what I had to do at that point to kind of keep people a little comfortable, you know, give them some words of encouragement. And that's what I did back then. And then after that, I went into frontline politics. which was in didn't go in my favor, and so I had run in Foxhill in the 2021 election, and I lost to Mr. Honorable Fred Mitchell. All right. So now I find myself doing consulting with labor consultant work. I normally assist persons who have trade disputes. They file a trade dispute or want to file a trade dispute. I assist them with that. And whatever else I can do to cause workers in our country to feel good, to cause employers of our country to understand their role and to do it the right way. And so when I named the show Total Package, I did that for two reasons. One, the employee representative being the union, the employer and the government, they have a thing called a tripartite council, okay? It's the three of them get together, and they do this in the best interest of workers and the employer and the government, okay? And so they meet often enough to agree to things, and their report normally go to the minister who, if he agrees to an amendment to be made, will table it in parliament, and they should have some debate on it and cause it to be law. And so I will do my endeavor best to try to strengthen the relationship between those three parties. I think oftentimes the employer looks at unions as being trying to bully their business, trying to get at their bottom line, being net profits in some cases. The government in some cases think the union is trying to control the department or control the government. I want to say to and to the union, it'd be very good if you look at the unions as being a partner rather than an enemy, okay? And so I think my producer is saying to me it's time to take a break. So on that point right there, we'll take a break. I want you to ponder that. And, I didn't give you these numbers. Let me give you these numbers before we go today. Numbers are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. The text line is, if you're calling from the Family Islands, it's 242-300-5720. And our text line is 422-GR96 or 422-4796. We'll be right back after this message.
Reliable and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good-for-nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want to find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick around the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Art is more than what we see. Culture is more than what we know. Together, they tell the story of who we are, what shapes us, shapes our culture, and what makes art come alive. Tune in to The Blank Canvas, where creativity meets conversation. Hosted by the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, your home for Bahamian visual art, we explore art, culture, and the creative community. Catch The Blank Canvas on 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio, where there is fresh news, smart talk all day.
Blank Canvas on Guardian Radio 96.9, Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
Welcome back. This is Guardian Radio 96.9, streaming live audio and video on Guardian ALK Radio. GuardianALKRadio.com. Or you can listen on TV on Cable Bahamas Channel 969. That's channel 969. Or BTC Flow Channel 612. You can download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android device, smart devices, and listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right here on the Guardian Radio app. You can text Guardian Radio line 422-GR96, 422-4796. We are powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply. Call us 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259 or toll free the Family Islands 242-300-5720. And if you ever missed a show or want to go back and listen again, log on to GuardianALKRadio.com. Click on the podcast, search for the show name, the show's name, and look for the date you want. It will be up before the end of the next working day. All that Guardian Radio 96.9 provides for you. So welcome back to John Pinder. I'm the host of this show called Total Package. And again, on this show, we will be examining employees' rights, workers' rights, the government policies, any other package you wish to discuss. And we want you to be a part of the conversation. We want you to tune in and be a part of the conversation. And let's see how we can best educate the workforce where there's some lack with the employer. If you want to also ensure they are keeping in line with the Employment Act, Chapter 321. Okay? And we just want to make sure at the end of the day, the government also complies with the ILO conventions that we agree to. And so this whole thing about unions not being able to strike, and even though they may have a strike certificate, well, the ILO convention that the government of Bahamas has signed on to gives you the right to withdraw your labor. Now, once there's a union action taking place, no employer can terminate you for withdrawing your labor if the unions are on strike or some sort of demonstration. The employer, you're guided and protected by the Industrial Relations Act, okay? And so we would hope that we don't reach the point where we have to go through all these strike. Most of the time it's happened because people are not in compliance with what is agreed to. You must comply with what is agreed to. If I owe you $10 and I can't afford to pay you that Friday, before Friday's deadline, I will come to you and say, listen, I can't do it Friday, as promised, but can you give me another week or two? And you have to be humble sometime. Even though you're the government or an employer, sometime you got to be humble. Because you signed these agreements. Some of them are with unions. Some of them are persons who sign agreements that are not unionized. And even then, you still have to comply. And you should never give an employee a contract agreement that is ultra vires to the Employment Act or is less than what the Employment Act provides. The Employment Act is minimum, but an employer can do better, not worse. You're supposed to be able to do better. And we have to understand what part of the Law and Employment Act, and I'm going to go through this more next week, maybe get into more discussions with the Employment Act. You have to understand which category of workers in the Employment Act that you can schedule for more than 8 hours a day. And even though you schedule for more than 8 hours a day, the Act still speaks to after 8 hours, those other hours are considered time and a half. You have to also consider the fact that if a person has a day off, and the law speaks to when a person should get a day off, after in every 7-week day work, a person is entitled to 24 hours consecutive rest, 24 consecutive hours of rest. And oftentimes, the employers do not comply with that. They need to know about compliance. And so I'm going to make sure I bring somebody on who's an expert in compliance, and they will certainly a number of compliance, not just for the working people, for companies and other organizations that needs to know the importance of violating policies and procedures they have agreed to. And so eventually we can do that. But I just thought this first year I'll introduce some things and let people know who I am, you know, so that we are able to have some very good discussions, and you're able to call into the show and give me your points of view and, you know, ask questions, and I will answer as best I can. And I can tell you now, if you ask me a question I can, I will tell you, I will get back to you on that. I am not going to give you no answer that is not the correct thing. If I don't know the correct thing, I'm going to find out for you and get back to you on it. I am friendly with millions of people who know just about any type of business or any type of thing. I have 4 or 5 lawyer friends that I associate with, all right? So I can always get the right interpretation, any kind, all right? I have a very good friend that may even offer to give me a sponsor very soon on this show, who is a former trade unionist, who is a very good labor attorney. I have a friend who's a very good criminal attorney. I have a good moral. I can cover it all. I got one who's good with, you know, government policies and that sort of thing, too. And so if you ask some questions and I have to bring the experts on the show, I got them lined up. And of course, in my relationship with them, they can't let me know. They didn't get them when they're available, but they can't tell me. They got to come. So I'm going to surprise you with some people who I'm going to bring on the show, persons you've never heard on any other show. Of course, in my relationship with them, they got to come. You know, then when we start speaking to them, they got to come. They won't be mad. And then when we call their wife or the children and say, but you know, your daddy telling me no. No, they ain't going to do that. Or your mommy say no. So I believe I can do pretty good with getting some of those persons to appear on this show and to clarify a number of things that need clarification. Okay? So, by the way, I wanted to send out some condolences to not just the family of the young man who was allegedly struck by lightning today and died from arm injury, a 16-year-old student. But I have some other persons I want to send out to because Neville Wisdom, I know the Honorable Neville Wisdom pretty good. I used to frequent his floral business. And his wife was kind of Foxillian person, you know, was basically on the South Beach Road. I remember her being a part of that Bryce family. And my mother was also family with the Bryce people, so I know them kind of okay, and I want to give my sincere condolences to that family. And I trust that Almighty God strengthen them also during this day of bereavement. My cousin, my young little cousin, Troy Davis, just 50, turned 51, 4th of September, but died before his birthday. My sympathy goes out to his daughter and my other cousins, and I trust that Almighty God will keep us together. He was the son of my favorite uncle who died a couple of years ago, Calvin Davis. You know, and so to the rest of those who left, Andrea and Calvin Jr., Marvin, Cindy, Kim, Vandre, who was I leaving? Who are you leaving? Razor Vandre. I know I'm leaving somebody. I'm leaving 2 people out. But anyhow, I'll get them in a minute. Yeah. My sympathy goes out to all of you. And to the Ferguson family in Foxhall, Samuel Spy Ferguson. That's a real spy. Samuel Spy Ferguson, not this or the person who just died the other day. Inspired that name way before him. And that has nothing to do with no criminal activity. It has to do with his eyes. You know? So my sympathy goes out to the Ferguson family also. And may all their souls rest in peace. Okay? Let me make sure I get that out there. And so, I like to, in the last part of the show, if anybody can call, if you don't got no calls, I'll just keep giving you some more experience. You have a call? Number. Number to call if you wish to call the show. 323-6232. 325-4316. 325-4259. Those are numbers you can call if you're on the family island. You wish to call and ask a question or say anything. You may even wish to say, John, I'm going to sponsor the show for you. You can call 242-300-5720. All right? If you want to send a text, you can send a text to 424-GR96, which is 424-4796. We're going to take our final break and be back right after that.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For wimpy kiosks, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Loss of family members and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's funeral industry partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9. I'm your host, John Pinder, and this is a new show called Total Package. And I believe I see my first caller for this show. So let's go straight to the lines. Good evening, caller. You're on Total Package.
Good evening, Mr. Pinder. I know you would do a splendid job. I'm privileged to be the first caller. But yeah. I would also like to give my condolences to the parents and family of that young man at R.M. Bailey. You know, it's unfortunate that he died as a result of a lightning strike. So I know how, I can only imagine how terrifying that can be. So, but I am quite certain that with your experience over a short period of time, you'll be able to educate the general public on the procedure and process as it related to public service. With your experience being in that field for all those years and being a part of the labor movement for all those years and also the director of labor. So you will do good in that in your endeavor. And I will be one of your constant listener. Every now and again, I'll just initiate a call.
Thank you, Cole. I truly do appreciate that. And whenever I see you, I will give you a Bobby cake for being the first person to call this show. Thank you very much. Okay, do we have another caller?
Hello.
Good evening, caller. You're on Total Package with John Pinder.
John Pinder.
Yes, sir.
I want to congratulate you on your show.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
I believe that you're going to do very well with it. You have tons and tons of experience in the subject matter that your show has to do with, labor matters. I will say right here that I know you personally. Both of us are PACES, class of 79.
Very good, very good.
All right. And on that note, I really feel it for the family and friends and loved ones of the victim of the lightning strike today.
Yes, yes, yes. We all do.
Had it happened to any student in any school, I would feel it.
Mm-hmm.
But because it happened to a PACER, I probably feel it like 1% more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because we don't know who was bungled up in him. You know, there'd be another Shane Gibson or another John Penn or another you.
Yeah, you know. And yeah. Once you're a pacer, man, you're a pacer for life, you know.
But, we got a lot of them. We got a lot of them. All the Dion folks and all those guys, they did us proud. They did us proud. And we got a couple of others in there. I don't want to start calling them because I may leave somebody out who's very important.
Absolutely, John. John Pender made us proud as well, all right? So let me just put that out there.
Well, I appreciate that, man. Thank you very much. I do appreciate that. To go and be
but
the glory.
What I also... There are... companies in this country that engage shift workers, right?
Go ahead.
And those workers, some of those workers in some of those companies, they have off, and their work is scheduled daily.
Mm. Okay.
So that means that whenever the employer wants them to be at work, they have to be at work. And whenever the employer wants them to be off, that's when they're off.
Okay. Now,
I think that is horrible.
Yeah. The act speaks
to... I'm not telling you of stuff that I've heard about. I've personally worked at two companies where it is like that. All right?
Uh-huh. Now,
and I think the only worse working conditions than that is slavery, right? So I heard that the Minister of Labor is going to be making some major amendments to the Labor Act. I wonder, have you heard if stuff like that are going to be fixed?
I would most certainly believe it would be fixed. Knowing Sharon Martin, and she took over from Robert Farquharson, and a number of us were there trying our best to ensure that the government complies with the ILO Convention, I am sure. I'm almost certain that she will definitely make the recommendation. That committee will certainly make the recommendation. Now, how long will they take to implement is another thing, but I am sure, because even when I was there on the Tripartite Council and as Director of Labor, do you know there's nothing in law that speaks to a meal break? That's not in law. And so I know we made several recommendations to put that in law, that an employee should be entitled to a meal break. The employer doesn't have to pay for it, but should at least give the employee a meal break. Number of those persons you see working downtown, those sales girls, a number of them do not have a meal break. And so I'm hoping that Ms. Martin and her team would be able to get the government to amend and put into law a number of those recommendations made by the Tripartite Council from the time Robert Farquharson was there. And, hopefully, with her influence, I'll be able to get him to come to law very soon. I am very confident in this particular Minister of Labor. Ms. Pierre Glover-Roll has really shown to be a good labor person. She worked in the last job she had in the public service was definitely in the Labor Department. I didn't have much time to work at her. I got there. Shortly after I got there, she left and went into her own private business. But she's already a pleasant person, and I believe she's going to do well, and I believe she has the Wiggins interests at heart. And so I have a lot of confidence. I used to say she must peep my blueprint, because a lot of stuff she implemented, boy, I certainly support. So I certainly believe that Mrs. Pierre Glover-Roll, Honorable Pierre Glover-Roll, will ensure that those things come into attack?
Well, John Pender, I really, really hope so. Because, like I tell you, I have some good friends in those companies that I used to work for, and I really, really feel it for them, you know?
Yeah.
I really, really feel it for them.
I'll tell you one thing, if it doesn't happen, I will certainly do everything. I'll agitate as much as I can, as best as I can, and I will, you know, I'll do what I have to do to make sure it happens.
Thank you, John Pender, and again, yeah.
Thank you too, my brother. Sure. Thank you, you're my second caller. You made history. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah. Okay, so we don't have any more callers waiting. Fine. Yeah. I want to think that was Glenn Bain, but I wasn't sure. I think that's Glenn Bain. Yeah, he did Iron Bailey well, too. He did us proud. We're proud of him. So, yeah, he mentioned the mistreatment that a number of shift workers are faced with. So let me say, again, in law, the law speaks to after 40 hours of work, any hour after that is considered time and a half. If persons are working these long hours, not getting days off, they must be paid for it. And let me tell you something that the employer doesn't oftentimes apply with. The law says, as long as you permit them to work, if you permit them to work, you got to pay them. And so I know some organizations who say the guys will be begging to work extra time for regular pay. That is a violation of the law. The law says if you permit that person to work the extra hours, you got to pay them what the rate is, time and a half. On their day off, they should get double time. And so if an employee is working 6 consecutive days, day 6 should be time and a half. And if they go to 70 without a day off, that is considered their day off. You got to pay them double time. Double time for your day off and double time for every public holiday. Think we have another caller? Good evening, caller. You're on.
Good evening, Mr. Pender. How are you?
I'm good, man. The God be the glory.
It's nice to know that somebody like you in that position.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
You may not remember me.
I know the voice, but I can't put the name to it.
I used to work at Environmental Health.
Okay.
The tall, slim guy that can't see that well.
Okay. Yes, okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, you're talking about labor.
For the most part, I'll be speaking about labor, yes.
Right. Now, one of the things that concerns me in this country is that how do you arrive at what you may call a livable wage?
Okay.
I could recall when I first started working, I worked at Coca-Cola, Pepsi Cola. I used to work for less than $1.50 an hour. Mm. And at that time, we used to work 48 hours a week.
Wow. $1.50 must have been very valuable back then.
Huh?
$1.50 must have been very valuable back then.
Yeah. My thing is this, though. How do we compare back then to now? What are the factors that you need to put in to the equation to arrive at a livable wage?
Well, all that's inflation, you know. Yeah, okay. So well, let me let you finish before I answer you.
Yeah. What I'm saying for me at that time, I was happier that it was 50-something, 60-something dollars a week. Mm-hmm. You work a little overtime, you get $70, $80. Okay? And you gotta when you go in the store, you spend $30. You got a lot of groceries. Mm-hmm. Now today you go in the food store and you come up with you spend $400 or so. You're probably only making about $5. That only can last you for the week.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then you think about a person having to pay rent. You have mm-hmm. to find food for your kids, for school, a lunch, and all that stuff. All the other things that you think about. How do you put those things together to really come up with a good, livable wage?
Okay. So let me say, I was able to inherit 1 year of Pat Bain's presidency as the leader of the National Congress of Trade Unions. And Then he went on to be elected president. So he had 4 years in there. One of Pat Bain's brainchild. Two things he really focused on would have been the secondhand smoking and the minimum livable wage. He really was struggling with that. And way back then, I think Pat died in 2007, Pat Bain died. Right. 2008. Back then, a study was done by the National Congress of Trade Unions, and that study then revealed that for a family of three, a mother and two children, to live comfortable, they need $350 a week if they had to pay rent or whatever. That was way back then, $350. And that was only for a family of a mother and two children.
Right.
So it has to do with, you look at what is the value of a, what I would call a balanced meal, suitable accommodations, clothing, education, healthcare. And so you normally look at those main things and you put a package together and you determine, you know, what, how much it would cost to get good healthcare and how much would it cost to eat healthy, what would it cost to get clothing, what would it cost for education, you know, that sort of thing. And you will do a study on that and you normally arrive at these figures. So a livable wage is something that the country is still struggling with. They're still at 350. From 2007 or 2008, we are at 350. They're still at 350, which we now recognize that because of inflation, 350 in 2008 doesn't have the same value in 2026. So we got to increase that and look at what it will cost. So if the Tripartite Council can get together, they've already done so. I don't know what the final amount they arrive at, but they need to ensure that the government, the employer, and the workers' rep look at what it will cost to provide those necessities, you know, housing, clothing, food, education. They're the five basic necessities human beings need to survive, okay?
Right.
And if they can arrive at a decent figure. Now, the thing is, the government, though, has subsidized a great portion of that because you don't want to introduce, let's say you come at $450 or $500 as a minimum wage, and then the employer passes his increase in salary on to the consumer. So you beat him right back down to $350 because you raised the cost of living so high. And so we got to do it in such a way that the government have to do some real serious studies to determine where they could cut costs for the business sector or the employer, and so that the employer doesn't feel as though he's losing or you really are putting him out of business because of what he have to pay for minimum wage. So somewhere along the way, we have to subsidize X amount. So if the minimum wage now is $260 and it needs to go to $350 or $400 or $500, how do you subsidize the business sector? How does the government raises its revenue to also accommodate that? And so those are things we can look at. What tax structure we put in place, you know? While I started this argument, I have to give Lincoln Baines some credit for continuously pounding on the natural resources. And that's something I started in 2012 when I went before Parliament after having a study done. I had hired my good friend, Rusty Campbell. I actually hired him, sit in my office about 4 to 6 months to do a study on it after hearing good reports from fellas like guy who died, Colebrook. Allen Johnson, Prescott. Prescott had one of the best. Prescott or David Andrews. Prescott had one of the best report on it because he had hands-on experience. And then after talking to a fellow like Craig Flowers, who worked in the area of aragonite, we were able to get some good information on it. And then we did a research and a study on it, and we found out that while it didn't have much value in its raw form, once it's refined, that's when it has its biggest value. And my intentions then was never to say, well, the government would just ship it out and expect to get $350 a metric ton. No. What I thought was, since we had the aragonite that makes glass, plastic, pharmaceutical supplies, a ton of other things come from this aragonite, okay? I figured we should have started to send some children. I said this in my report. Send some students off to learn how to refine aragonite. and then establish them companies in the Bahamas. Could you imagine if we manufacture glass?
Right.
And that's having to ship the aragonite out, and then they refine and they manufacture glass. So imagine we were manufacturing glass or carbon shields, and you had a company like a Ford or some other Toyota company, something decided, you know what we'll do? We're going to contract the Bahamas to manufacture all of our windshields, all of our windows. That's when we'd have been able to get maximum money out of our aragonite. That's only one natural resource, only one.
Right. And yeah. You have, take for instance, you look at all these conch shells that are
being used every year.
Yeah. They could be used for certain products that
would I think conch shell have the highest concentration of carbonite. Yeah. But listen, unfortunately, the producer's telling me my hour has gone. Can't believe it's gone so quickly. My hour has gone. Call, I really appreciate your call. Call me back next week if you have some more things you want us to discuss. And so, ladies and gentlemen, that brings me to the end of this first show of Total Package. You made history. All of you listening and calling today, you made history. And I will never forget you for being so kind to me and the show. Thank you very much. You've been listening to Total Package on Guiding Radio 96.9. I'll hear from you again next week, Monday. Same bad time, same bad channel.
It's spring. God knows where.